No place I'd rather be than right here with you right now, worshiping our great God who loves us so much and has shown that to us in so many ways. Not too long ago, we had a lesson on the importance of knowledge, and we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where we are to be diligent to add to our faith virtue and virtue knowledge, and we talked about the importance of having knowledge and how much Peter mentions knowledge in that letter that he wrote. This evening, I want us to look at Hosea chapter 4. David just read from that. I want us to consider the danger of being ignorant of God and not having a relationship with Him, not doing what His Word says. Again, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." This verse in the prophetic book of Hosea emphasizes the spiritual destruction that happens when people deliberately reject God's word and having a relationship with Him, knowing Him. It seems sometimes the more things change, the more they stay the same, and you consider a quick survey of the Old Testament, how time and time again people continued to walk in destructive ignorance of God. And it just, you see that throughout history. I want to look at some Old Testament history real quick and see this in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. You think about the destruction of the world in the days of Noah. And it's interesting when you read Peter, he says that Noah was saved by water. And that's because it destroyed the evil influences of this world that he was living in. But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You would think someone could have a good thought ever so often, but it says that the state has gotten so wicked that every intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. But God found favor in one man, Noah, and he was able to save his family. But the world was destroyed because of the wickedness. And I think also about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. When you turn over to Genesis chapters 18 and 19, we read of the destruction of these cities on the plain. Because of the evil, because of their wickedness, they were destroyed. And they were made an example for us. They were going after strange flesh. And Lot was being oppressed by the wickedness that surrounded him day in and day out. In fact, Peter writes of that in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live godly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." Have you ever worked in a worldly environment, and you hear things that no one ever needs to hear? It has a destructive force. Noah was saved from water by the flood. Lot was saved from the wickedness of these cities when they were destroyed by God. And that was done as an example for us. It was tormenting Lot's righteous soul day in and day out. And also in Jude verses 6 and 7, we see that they're a negative example for us. The Bible is full of positive examples for us and negative ones. Sodom and Gomorrah, definitely a negative example of the destruction that will come. from a lack of knowledge from above. When you ignore it, when you reject it, when you're not living as you should, you're rebelling against God, you don't want to know Him and have a relationship with Him, it leads to destruction. And we see that time and time again, even in the lives of the patriarchs. Because of their sins, we see that they had problems in their life. Problems, you think about the patriarchs, of deception, a lack of faith in God, a lack of trusting Him, and jealousy, hatred, problem throughout the times of the patriarchs because of their sins. It brought about difficulties in their life, serious consequences. And the 40 years of rebellion in the wilderness, God had displayed His power for His people to see and for the Egyptians to see, and setting them free. You see His power over the Egyptian false gods by the plagues that He sent, and they were freed. The Pharaoh and his army came after them, and God saved them with the water, again, using water. Led them into the wilderness, was taking care of them. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it talks about, even though they were in the desert, their shoes didn't wear out, their feet didn't swell, they had food to eat, they had water to drink, but they murmured, and they complained, and they were impatient, and they got involved in idolatry. They didn't trust God, and we see because of that, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. It should have been a much quicker trip than that. And a generation, obviously, did not get to go. Moses did not get to go with them into the promised land. And also, as you continue throughout Old Testament history, you see in the period of Judges, and a couple of times it's mentioned, I referred to the last words of this book this morning in the lesson, but in Judges 17 and verse 6, and also the last verse of the book of Judges in 21 and verse 25, it says that every man did what was right. Now, if you stop there, it would sound good, wouldn't it? Every man did what was right. But unfortunately, it doesn't stop there. He does what's right in his own eyes. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. I love this passage. Many of you may know this very well. It's a wonderful passage. But in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Those are words to live by. If we just trust God and not ourselves. And that's faith is walking not by sight, not by what we see. It's walking by faith. Faith and trust in God and the unseen. We need to trust God. We need to believe Him. We see in the period of the judges, everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. Rejecting God's knowledge, being ignorant, that leads to destruction. And finally, the bad leadership of so many kings throughout Israel's history, particularly in the northern kingdom of Israel. Turning the people away from God is oftentimes what the king would do. Wicked king after wicked king. Good kings were few and far between. But you see, just thinking about this brief sweep of history of the Old Testament, how that people that rejected the knowledge of God, it led to problems in their life. It led to destruction. And that's the path that it will take you. It is so important that we be knowledgeable of God's Word and have a close relationship with Him. How can we have a close relationship with God and be ignorant of His instruction, of His Word? So God sent the prophet Hosea to speak to their coming destruction. Yet there were false prophets, and you can always, unfortunately, find those that are teaching things other than God's will, God's word. And these false prophets that led the people away from God, they were giving false security and telling the people that everything was fine and that no enemies were going to come up against them. But that's not what the prophet of God said. And God teaches them the important lesson of being faithful to God and how He feels when we're unfaithful to Him and we commit spiritual adultery. In Hosea 4, verse 5, if you'll look there, God links the false prophets with a corrupt priest announcing a coming judgment. And basically what He's saying there is that you will stumble in broad daylight. It doesn't have to be dark for you to stumble. You can stumble in broad daylight, just as you might at night, and so will your false prophets. So what should be leaders of God's people, the priests, the prophets, we see were very disappointing. When God gave the law through Moses, over and over again, He talked about the importance of teaching His law to the younger people, to children, in the family, the responsibilities that we have, parents have towards teaching their children. It's what we sometimes refer to as the Deuteronomy 6 principle. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, we read, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I commanded you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Have the word of God ever before, not only you, but the young people, the children, teaching them the instructions from the Lord. It's so important. And I certainly appreciate so many that through the years I've known that have taught the young people's classes. There's somebody here tonight that taught Sherry when she was young. Taught my daughters, a son, when they were young. I appreciate that. It's so important to do that, to teach them so there will not rise up generations that they get further and further away from the knowledge of God. It's important to leave that legacy, to teach it to the young people, to pass it on to generations, not only know it ourselves, but also to pass it on. And did you realize that was part of the responsibility of the priest? You know, I think a lot of times we think about the priest and we just think about them making the sacrifices. And that was certainly part of it. But also, we see that they were to teach the children of Israel. The priests were given the job of instructing the people as a whole, and that includes young people. Last week we had a lesson on Sunday evening from Leviticus chapter 10. You know, we talked about how this is one of the few events, accounts that we read of in Leviticus. It's mostly about law. But in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 11, we see after the death of Nadab and Abihu that God stresses how Aaron was to teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. Part of it, the priest, part of the responsibility was to teach the children. And also today, fathers, as the head of our household, we are to be the spiritual head. we are to instruct our children. And it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 that we are to do that. Fathers are to teach and train their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we're to do that with patience and love. It's our responsibility. We need to be sure that we are doing that, fulfilling our responsibility, passing along that knowledge of God's Word so the generations that come after us will be good teachers of the Word of God. Remember, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest or priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. You see, it's going to have an impact if we don't teach our children. If we don't have that knowledge, we're certainly not passing it along. And the consequences of our lack of knowledge is going to be consequences on our young people. We need to teach the Word of God. We need to know it and pass it along to the younger generations. Do we realize the importance of doing that? We need preachers that will preach the Word of God. If you hear a preacher and he preaches a 30-minute lesson and you don't hardly hear any Bible verses, that's a problem. If he just gets up and tells illustrations, or he just tries to make everybody feel good when they leave and it's over, he's not doing and fulfilling his responsibility. And I think about what is said about the priest here in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It's an awesome responsibility to be a teacher, to be a preacher of God's Word. But it's something that God expects us to be able to do. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Hebrews writer, in talking about these Christians that had come out of Judaism, they had become dull of hearing. They are not seeking the Word of God in a relationship with Him as they should. And it says in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, of whom we have much to say. He's been talking about Melchizedek and how Jesus is a high priest after that order. And it says, of whom we have much to say, verse 11 beginning, and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It is in our best interest to know the Word of God and exercise our senses so that we can discern what is good and what is evil, and to teach that to others, to pass that knowledge along. God expects that, and we need to be fruitful in that area. We need to advance in teaching. But we live in a land, much like the land that I read about in Hosea. It's a dark world in which we live. Look at what is said in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, right before the text that we're looking at this evening. In Hosea chapter 4, the first two verses, and David read this earlier, there is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, lying, killing, stealing, and committing adultery, it says that they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Does that sound that much different from the world in which we live today? It scares me what our young people are hearing around other young people. It reminds me of in Jeremiah's day that people have lost their ability to blush. They're no longer ashamed of their sins. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. They don't even feel guilt over the sin that they commit. You think about our country. Think about when it was founded, about 250 years ago. Think about how it was at least founded upon some very important principles there, and they recognized God. I'm not saying their theology was perfect. I'm not saying that one bit. But I'm saying that it was obvious when they founded our country, there were some principles that were very important to them that are very important to God. And where are we now? It seems like getting further and further away from God's will. We should accept sin. That's what the world wants us to do. Tolerate it. Ignore it. Not tell anybody what the Word of God says. Not stand on the truth. Not teach it. Not be bold like Peter and John were in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 3. But just let it go. But we as God's children, we have to be sure that our light is shining bright in this dark world. We are given the responsibility to let our light shine. Not to bring the applause of our fellow man to us, but to do it for the glory of God who is in heaven. We need to be sure that we are letting our light shine in this dark world, that we know the Word of God, and that we're living it, and that we're teaching it to others. Very quickly, from this verse that we've been looking at this evening, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, think about a contrast. Active ignorance versus divine knowledge. The lack of knowledge it talks about in this verse is not just a lack of general education, but an intentional rejection of God's law and a failure to develop a personal relationship with God. Knowing God as we should. If we want to be close to God, if we want to draw near to God, it's not just about putting all sin out of our life. That's a big part of it. But it's about drawing closer to Him, knowing Him, what He says, His will, and doing that. Being a bright light in this dark world. Active knowledge, active ignorance versus divine knowledge. Also think about very quickly the responsibility of leadership. This verse, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, contextually is directed to the priests and the false prophets of Israel. They obviously were not teaching the law. And you think about today and the Lord's church, and you read the qualifications of elders, and they're to be apt to teach. Preachers be preaching the word in season, out of season, when it's popular, when it's not, preaching the truth. Paul says to Timothy, who's the preacher in Ephesus. Parents guiding and teaching their young people. It's a responsibility of leadership. This morning we talked about the leadership of Jesus Christ, how there's no other king like Him. He went about teaching in His ministry. We read about those 3.5 years in the bulk of the Gospel of Counts. And finally, think about the consequences of rejection. And really, that is the point of tonight's lesson. Because Israel, in Hosea's day, was ignoring the law, God withdrew His blessings from them, leading to widespread moral failure. The text says they were lying, stealing, and violent. And think about the generational consequences for their children. Do we think God will continue to bless us if we willingly reject knowledge of Him? I'm afraid He won't, and we need to understand that, and we need to guard ourselves against that. be sure that you love the Word of God, that you're seeking more and more knowledge, that you don't feel like you've reached a plateau and you know everything you need to know about the Word of God, but you continue diligently to add to your knowledge of God's Word. And I think about, and I thought about this as I was thinking about this lesson. I love Psalm 19, how the first six verses talk about how we can know that God exists by creation and observing creation. But then it gets to, in verses 7 through 9, it talks about six statements about the Word of God and how powerful it is. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, verse 7, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And he goes on to say, the value of them is greater than that of fine gold, and it's sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. But verse 11, I've really been thinking about that verse recently. Psalm 19, verse 11. Moreover, by them, it's talking about the law of the Lord, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Psalm 19, written by David, he may have written Psalm 119. It doesn't say. It could have been him. We're not told. But in Psalm 119, really, it seems like it really expands on Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is a short psalm. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And whoever wrote Psalm 119 loved the law of the Lord. But as verse 11 says in Psalm 19, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And we need to take that to heart. We need to take the Word of God to our heart, because Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your law I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Having a knowledge of God will help guard us against sin. It will bring us closer to God. I encourage us all to study. I'm excited about the Bible class on Wednesday night that we've started, a survey of the Bible. I want us all to learn more about the Word of God. If there's anybody here this evening that needs to become a child of God, think about your soul's condition. Realize the commitment that you're making. Have your sins washed away. You do that by repenting of your sins, confessing your faith that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins, and living faithful unto death, growing in knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. If you've already become a Christian, you need to repent. We'd be happy to approach God's throne of prayer in your behalf. Come if you need to while together we stand and sing.